Hey friends, how are you? And welcome to another edition of the Danny Morrell Show. I am your host, Danny Morrell, and it is, what is this, 3 days removed from Relentless 2017, an incredibly successful event where many of you, the fans of the show, flew in from across the country to be a part of this spectacular, spectacular day. The feedback that we are getting is quite honestly phenomenal. We've had people from all walks of life, all different types of careers, coming in and joining us for the day. And I got to tell you, people were challenged. People grew. I think, quite honestly, many people received more than they even expected to receive during this incredible event. However, we're very, very fortunate to host none other than Mr. Gary Vaynerchuk himself at the event. He was the keynote speaker. And I'm going to be sharing with you today my podcast interview with him for the very first time. Friends, I got to tell you, it was very interesting to me because I stepped right off stage. I went back, you know, behind the stage into a private room that we had set up for the podcast. And what proceeded to happen was an interview where, quite frankly, I learned tremendously. I think a lot of us know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, and yet it's very tough to put into words the level of frankness, the level of correctness, and the weight that his words carry. So if you can imagine, as I'm sitting there interviewing him one-on-one, man, not only am I asking questions, and not only am I thinking about the next question to ask him, I'm also learning, because the stuff that he is saying is having a profound impact on me. Not only as a business person, but as a human being. So very excited to share with you this incredible interview, this incredible podcast that I'm sure you're going to learn a lot from. So without further ado, guys, my interview with Mr. Gary Vaynerchuk. Hey everybody, how are you guys doing? This is a special, special edition of the Danny Morrell Show. Look who is here, the man, the myth, the legend. But before I do that, this is kind of like double exciting because I just was on stage at Relentless and I just got handed the very first copy of the Resilience Roadmap. So this is exciting. More about this a little bit later. Please, please help me welcome Mr. Gary Vaynerchuk.
Hey guys.
How are you?
Congrats. I know the feeling. It's fun to touch it for the first time.
How was your first time? Wait, that sounded kind of weird, but
it was amazing.
Not that first time, the book first time.
Yeah, I think you know, it's funny. Crush It and then the last one, Ask Gary Vee. It's kind of like kids, I think, right? It's always great. Like, you think you get used to it, but you don't. Like, when you put work into something and you don't see it, and then you wait a long period of time and then you see it, it's
right?
Fun. So it's a good feeling.
Awesome, awesome. So I've got a couple of questions for you. I literally was just on stage and I showed everybody a timeline of what it takes to kind of really succeed in business. And you know, I started with the inception of the company, the idea of a company, and I went all the way to a place where you can get to a point where, kind of like, if I may not mistaken, VaynerMedia is with you, where VaynerMedia is running independent of you being here or not. Is that a correct assumption or?
Not really.
Okay.
And that's right. I mean, like, I wish that was true. I mean, I am, you know, it's really funny. I'm probably playing a little bit of the reverse. Actually, you saying that is a tremendously exciting thing for me to hear. It means that I've done the reverse. Everybody's trying to let their companies run without them so they can go do other stuff.
Right.
I have figured out how, through D-Rock and the other 15 people now that are on Team Gary content, we are full-fledged media modern day production company, that a lot of people think I'm Gary Vee, but I'm spending 89, I mean, the 6 hour flight that I just took here,
yeah,
I spent 5 hours and 9 minutes on email, text, and communications on being the chief executive officer of VaynerMedia. So if I stop being the CEO of VaynerMedia tomorrow, it can run.
Right, but it won't be the same.
Yeah, it's not gonna go from 120 to 150 million revenue,
yep,
like it's going to with me. It would start really feeling the effects.
A little backwards.
And honestly, that's what I want. Hmm. But to me, it's been interesting to figure out the reverse version, which is there are so many people that are building their personal brands,
yeah,
want that. I think I'm clearly doing a good job, and I think people look at me as a standard, and it is absolutely my side hustle, which feels really good if you can be winning on your side hustle.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so how do you manage that right now, man? Because I know that that's, it's tough. I know that one of the things I struggle with is I see something, I see a prize, I see something I want to make happen. Yeah. I kind of go all in with that,
yeah.
Right? How do you manage that?
By doing that, I think it's volume of time. I think there's a couple variables. There's the vision, the strategy, there's the amount of time you put into it, and then there's your talent. And I think as a businessman, unlike if I was trying to do hockey or be a painter or cook or do a million things on earth where I wouldn't have the talent, I think I'm naturally a really good entrepreneur and businessman. I've always been. You don't make $3,000 as a 13-year-old selling baseball cards to show by luck. So it's always been in me.
Right.
And then I just genuinely think I'm outworking everybody. I think the reason I started Daily B was to really make it crystal clear that the hyperbole that was coming out of my mouth in interviews like this and
is,
on stage
is actual fact.
And like really a fact.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Truly fucking 13, 14, 17 hours every single day. And so I think I'm able to do a lot.
Yeah.
Just because I think I'm working more than you.
You know?
Like. I don't know what else to say.
It's so impressive to me. And I will tell you this. It was kind of interesting to watch because for a while there, I mean, we're about to hit stage. We're about to go on. And as early as this morning, I was kind of following you on Instagram. Like, fuck, is he coming? Like, I mean, I paid him a lot of money. Is he coming? Because, you know, I don't know if you knew, but I expected, like, you would have got here last night, settled in. I was going to throw you a big shindig at my house. Yeah. Like, the whole thing. Like, this is... You know, this is what I thought. The dude just got off the plane.
Yeah, I mean,
you just got off the plane and you're here now.
Not only that, and then D-Rox will tell you, like, got here, took like a 3-second shower, and did 4 calls for work before I just came down here for the podcast. I mean, it is, and I've got 6 calls on the way to the airport after I get off, like, the get off stage and the meet and greet. I'm already thinking when, you know, like, meet and greets, I suck at staying on time because you see people's face and you're like, fuck, I don't want to let them down. But
right.
You got to get on the airplane. But I'm like, oh shit, I got actual calls in between there and one's really important. So it's, I mean, I genuinely, you know what hit me?
Yeah.
Because of Daily V and reading people's comments, I didn't realize that people took an hour and a half for lunch. I didn't realize that people thought it was acceptable. Now, by the way, I realized people took an hour and a half lunch. Yeah. I didn't realize that people that talked about building billion-dollar empires took an hour and a half lunch.
Yeah.
I didn't realize people that talk shit and think they're gonna crush it took 38 minutes in the middle of a day to like watch a funny YouTube video that their college buddy sent them. Now, I think that's awesome.
Right.
Like I think. Actually, weirdly, I wish I did that. I wish I did more of that.
It's not in your DNA.
It's just not who I am.
Yeah, I got you. So you know what was funny is I had an actual good question, and then you just kind of stumped me with that.
Ask it, and then I want
to
see.
Well, it's just because I was thinking to myself, what I thought was happening isn't happening. I thought, you know what I'm saying? It's like I thought it was fully leveraged.
Yeah.
And
it's not. And
which is awesome to hear, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I love that.
I think people. So look, there's no such thing as passive income.
Mm-hmm.
You've just hired a CLO, right?
Yeah.
She or he may be phenomenal, and it may be the greatest 17-year run, and it's going to be great. And it may feel passive in nature if she or he is running it.
Right.
And da da da. What happens if they get hit by a bus? What happens if they quit? Like this thought. Like, it's a ludicrous conversation.
It's even in real estate, because even if you think about it, even if you own multiple properties, you still have to manage them, operate them, make sure.
When the market collapses.
Right, right.
We're hundreds of years into this cycle.
Right.
So real estate markets get bubbled. By the way, tech too, tech investing. The reason I'm not investing in startups right now is we're in a bubble.
Right.
Like, and so, yeah, I mean, unless you invest in, the thought of passive income that you need to rely on in any shape or form is ludicrous. Unless you're able to put money into Wall Street and legitimately not care when it, not need it.
Right.
That's about as close as it gets. If you think you have an actual business, you have a landing page that you have the third result on Google on and you're making money, that shit goes away every time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not, but now look, Wine Library is, I get a big check from Wine Library. I spent years building it, but the only reason it is because my dad's there operating.
And somebody is still running it.
My dad, my best friend. I mean, like, you know, so, I don't know.
I got you. So next question.
Yes.
I picked you to come speak to our audience because I highly respect, you know, what you do and your work ethic. And I see, like, in our industry, for example, in the real estate industry, people don't understand the amount of tenacity and hard work it takes to just build momentum, right? And I thought you could talk about that. I'd like to know, what do you think is the hangup with most people and what it really takes to succeed and make it in business?
I just think most people's mouths are way ahead of their, their actual actions, and that their ambitions are not practical based on their behavior. That's all. I mean,
simple.
I think the reason real estate is so attractive is because it actually is easy when the market's awesome.
Yeah.
And there's other, I'm not picking on real estate, I think tech investing and VC is, I think Wall Street is, when it's good, which is why so many people flame out, because they get into bad behavior. When your market's ripping, and you're fucking selling homes hand over fist.
Right.
And honestly, I always know when real estate's in trouble. It's when my C and D friends, level friends on the A to F scale, when my C to D level friends start making real money in real estate, or are rolling, or buy a BMW, I'm like, shit's about to get bad.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the actual work ethic for the rewards, and that means there's a bubble in place. And so, I'm not even gonna just pick on real estate, I think fundamentally
period.
What's happening, period, in entrepreneurship is people want the private jets and the golf courses and the handbags, and they don't want to put in the work that goes along with it continuously and forever. I think a lot of people like the idea of really going at it hard for 18 or 24 months. They just don't realize it's a forever thing. And when you take the pedal off, you have to start giving stuff up. And the thing that's tough about life is when you grow up with a $5 handbag and you crush it a little bit and now you've got a $3,000 handbag.
It's tough to go backwards.
It's tough to go to the $500 handbag when you don't want to work that hard.
I love it.
And unless you're really great at investing your money in a diverse way, and that's it. I mean, you just see it over
and over.
So look,
what you're saying is, you're not even saying there's anything wrong with it.
I'm not.
It's just be ready to pay the price.
Yeah, just stop being full of shit.
Good.
There is no shortcut. You know nobody who's winning for a sustained period of time that is doing it without putting in a shitload of work.
Yeah, period.
I mean, there's just nothing. I mean, we've seen so many people come up and flame down. Like for me, this is a really interesting part of my career actually. I'm clearly ascending to a different level, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you look at my social growth, you look at being on the cover of magazines, you know, I've got the Apple TV show coming, so I'm feeling the effects of that. I'm working the hardest.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how the hell?
Yeah, to me it's fun, right? I've never made more money, it's never been more, there. I've never left more money on the table. On a yearly basis, I'm leaving $10 to $20 million in earned income each year because I'm not willing to do shortcuts.
Right.
And you just need to really believe in yourself if you're willing to do that, because that means you think there's more on the other. And I'm not doing it because I'm nice. I'm doing it because I don't think it's the right move for me. I don't want to cash in the chips. So for me, I just think the market is fair.
Yeah.
It's talent and work ethic.
Got it.
The end.
I love
it. It's that mix. The thing that's not controllable is talent. Like at the highest levels, no matter what I did, there was no NBA for me.
Yeah.
No matter what I did, there was no opera singing for me.
Shortstop for the Yankees.
Not gonna happen.
No.
So for me, the reason I push hard work and hustle and work ethic is it's disproportionately more controllable than mommy and daddy gave you the right DNA.
I love it. All right, next question.
Go ahead.
So this is a selfish one.
Please.
Our company right now will do 35 to 40 million in revenue. Mm-hmm. I wanna get it to 100 million in revenue.
You should definitely not become the passive CEO then.
Okay. All right, so then what else?
I think you look at how you made your 30 to 35,
okay,
and you look at it carefully. I think one of the things that has made me successful in business is I'll look at what's happening and then I'll start thinking as the operator,
right,
what naturally comes to me,
yeah,
that also matches with growth or profit margin.
So it's like I was just telling you before the show started, mm-hmm, what naturally came to me is my ability to, right,
mm-hmm,
keep doing that in.
I don't think you have to. I think that's where you have to decide, right? So for example, Wine Library was a very not profitable business. Because there's a three-tier system and you have to buy for wholesalers, in essence, the liquor business is one of the few places in retail where you don't make 100% margin, you make 50. And then I was, right, a discounter, so we made 20. We made 20% margin on product, and then we had expenses. So we made no money. Even though I did 50, 60 million in revenue, VaynerMedia making 60 million and Wine Library making 60 million.
It's a whole different ball, yeah.
VaynerMedia is dramatically more profitable.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
Gary Vaynerchuk making it, well, it's a completely clean, yeah, profit in books,
right,
and speaking.
Right.
So I think the question becomes, if you want it to go from 30 to 100, is that arbitrary competitiveness in you? Because 100
fair
is
enough, because it's a great number.
Do you,
right,
actually need the money? You've got a family. Like,
right.
You got to kind of, you know, to me, it all comes down to the truth.
Okay.
The truth is the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
What's your guy's truth? Right, I'm looking at his
my wife.
You,
yeah,
know, like, what's your truth? Do you guys need it today? Do you need it tomorrow? Could you hold your breath a little bit? Do you need the second thing? Do you need the fancy thing? Do you not? Like, to me, what has absolutely allowed me to do my thing is I don't need shit.
Right.
And when you don't need shit, you don't spend money on shit, and then all of a sudden you don't need as much every year, and the reason I'm leaving so much on the table is if you're good enough, every dollar you leave in, you compound.
Right.
So VaynerMedia has 800 employees instead of 397 because I didn't need to make an extra million or $2 million every year that I would have taken home. I put it into people.
Right.
So either you're investing in your business or you're not. It's binary.
Yeah, yeah,
do not,
I got
get
you,
it confused. That Rolex you bought was you not investing in your business.
Right.
You could have spent 30 more thousand on Facebook ads.
Right.
You could have.
Right.
And so it's this whole, and so that's what you have to decide. What's your guy's truth?
Yeah, no, good stuff. Good
stuff. You
know
stuff. What I mean?
Yeah, totally, totally.
Good. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. If I was not married and had two children, I would probably be doing some rogue shit just to make a point.
Like, what do you mean? Explain.
I would go live in a studio apartment in Queens. Just to stick it to everybody, to make them understand that, like, that's...
You just don't need it.
I'm fucking, what do I do at home? Nothing. I fucking get home and sleep. I work 18 hours a day. The fuck do I need a house?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right? I mean, it's like, I don't know.
You guys can laugh. It's okay. Everybody's like...
You know, like, I think it's like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You know?
Facebook ads.
Facebook ads.
Tell me about... Tell me how, by the way, my first time I have any experience in this, we ran a successful campaign to get the place filled, right? And I see the magic in it.
Oh, it's magic.
I see investing $30 and getting $190 in return. I will do that all day long.
Back to my point that I was just on a rant, or if you're an investor, of course you will. So will everybody watching.
So is that how this happens?
Probably, but then the question becomes, what if you invest 38 and you're getting 17? Now the question becomes about the Rolex and how long are you playing for?
Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah,
but you see,
yeah,
what,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
using
yeah,
the,
yeah.
I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah, I got you, I got you.
You see where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
Investing or not. One of the things that has made me really strong is when it's 30 and I'm getting 19 back, I don't care.
Right.
First of all, I'm not selling much.
I understand what you're saying. It doesn't affect you as bad because...
Because I'm investing.
You're in a position, but yes, I got
it's
you.
It's not even the position financially. It's like, it's what I've done my whole life, right? Like when I built Wine Library from a $3 to $40 million business in that window, I was paying myself $37,000 a year. I've been in this.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I was unusual because guys in their 20s want money because they want girls.
Right.
Right? They want money because they want girls. It's not very complicated. They want money so that they can do something to leverage that to get a girl, whether it's a vacation, a car, an outfit. I just don't think that way.
What causes that?
Insecurity.
Insecurity. Like where did that come from, or where have you?
Where did that come from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I thought you meant why do guys not, you know, for me,
no,
for me what it came from is utter confidence, which is first of all, never would I ever be interested in attracting a female predicated on goods.
Yeah, yeah, of
second,
course.
Second, I thought I was a fucking winner and had a lot of charisma and could do it without it.
Yeah.
And third of all, to be very frank, I actually didn't give a fuck about it. I was so focused in my 20s to build the empire that I imagine,
yeah.
It just wasn't my driving force as the cliche would play out for most guys at that time in their lives.
You know what's funny? I was the same way other than, because I didn't give a shit about the girls. I worked 7 days a week. I gave a shit about stuff. And so I was the guy driving the 7 Series BMW at 24 years old.
And listen,
you know, making decent money, but...
I get it. And listen, by the way, I want to make this perfectly clear. I don't judge. You want a Lamborghini? You want a Rolex? You want a jet? You want a house in Cabo? Do you. Fuck me.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you how I'm wired and why I think that works. And I bring it up because I am concerned that the current conversation on social media, Instagram specifically, around entrepreneurship,
totally,
is so skewed
right.
to champagne bottles, models, private jets, Lambos, rare animals, and all sorts of weird shit.
Right.
And nobody's talking about the truth.
Reality.
Which is why I did Daily View, which is the truth is not fucking glamorous.
Right.
It's just not.
Man. One last final tip.
To the crew?
Yeah. Well, I would say to our audience. Yeah, we got a decent audience.
So for everybody listening and watching, I think the tip is super simple. I think it's self-awareness. I think it's, if you're listening to this, there's some stuff that's super resonating with some, and other people are like, where is he going with this? You just have to know yourself. It's awesome if you wanted to have a BMW. You knew that you like stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what you work for, and that's awesome. If that brings you happiness. Look, going to Jets games brings me happiness. Like, it's guys running into each other. Like you know, it's not complicated. So I think it's self-awareness. Here's what I will say. Actually, here's a good thing to say. It's been on my mind lately. I do want everybody to know the following. You are not tricking any winners when you talk shit and don't back it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a very interesting thing going through my mind right now, which is there's a lot of these kids who are getting some leverage, getting some following, and they wanna come and jam with me, and I'm just not into it because A players don't get tricked by bullshit. Z players get tricked by bullshit. And so there's a lot of bottom feeding going on right now, and I would highly recommend everybody understand things like, you know, it's funny, somebody hit me up and they're like, Gary, you're on the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine this month. It's super cool. And I kind of looked at all the other social media stuff that she was sharing. And I was like, and we were talking, and she's like, did it. And I was like, do you understand why I'm on the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine and why I'm on the Apple Show and when some of the other people that you're looking up to aren't? And she didn't. And she was confused. And it really helped her understand, like, there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to
do things. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think we need to start conversating more about the right way to do it. And that is to be noble and honest and not bottom feed and work hard and be patient. And you know, I'm a new wave guy with all my technology talk and the way I roll, but I'm fucking old school in my soul.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's exciting to me that 15 to 25 year old guys are so into me right now, because I think that I can suffocate some of the horse shit out of
if they think
I'm cool, well then we've got a shot because I'm not gonna let them off the hook.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, that was from my wife. You heard that? Yeah.
Right? I think that, you know, I'll be honest. I've recently stumbled into this in my own mind. That could end up being one of my biggest legacies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I realize that I'm being treated very differently right now by 15 to 25 year old guys. And if I can inspire young men to be better human beings in the way that men run through this world, that could be a really cool legacy.
That's a great legacy. Yeah, I love it. I'm going to leave it with that because you can't really talk about much more than legacy. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, guys. Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm not going to say how to follow him because you all already follow him. See you next time on the next episode of the Danny Morrell Show. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you, man. Thank you, Gary.
Well, there you have it. That was the interview. I'm sure you can agree it was impactful. It was powerful. It was strong. It was raw. It was straight to the point. I'm sure you can agree that you learned the lesson and you learned an impactful lesson that should cause personal and professional growth and development to occur. I've got a little something to show you guys. Many haven't actually seen it, but my new book is out and I was blessed to actually have it signed by Gary himself during the taping of the show. If you haven't done so, go to Amazon. They're available right now at Amazon, The Resilience Roadmap. It's going to cover everything that we learned at Relentless from A to Z on how you can grow an unstoppable business, one that you've always imagined. And finally, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to invite all of you to keep the conversation going. Two ways, post comments, questions below this video, wherever you see in it. And then secondly, go on Facebook and go to facebook.com/groups/the Relentless Movement. Essentially, over half of the audience from that day joined us together in this group. And we've been continuing this conversation day after day. There's a lot of growth, a lot of breakthroughs happening. I encourage you all and I invite you to subscribe to our show. You can do that by going to dannymorell.com/podcast and clicking subscribe on either iTunes, SoundCloud, or on Stitcher for you Android users. Until next time, remember to be more, do more, and as a result, you can expect to have more. Take care. Bye-bye.